Your brain needs support, and new Ollie Brainy Chews are a delightful way to take care of your cognitive health. Made with scientifically backed ingredients like Thai ginger, L-theanine, and caffeine, Brainy Chews support healthy brain function and help you find your focus, stay chill, or get energized. Be kind to your mind and get these nootropic chews at Ollie.com. That's OLLY.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
Dusty Mesa, her looming shadow grows.
Welcome to The World We Deserve, the officially unofficial podcast for True Detective on HBO. I'm Jim.
I'm Aaron.
And this is it, man. This is the start of the season. Episode one. I gotta know what you think.
I was trying to think of, like, the one thing that stood out in my mind is this show felt premium.
Premium?
This afternoon I've been on a little mini Reacher binge, that show about the, I don't know, 7-foot-tall monster that solves crimes on Amazon Prime. And I like that show, but especially this season too, it seems like it's pretty damn corny. This show did not feel corny. This show felt, and I was trying to put it in like other, like how True Detective-y does it feel? I feel like it feels pretty True Detective-y, but, you know, in the first season, I don't know that this show like really kind of hooked me and like became True Detective until you get like what, episode 3 or 4, whenever you had that big like 8-minute oneer that kind of really sucked you in. There was like, oh yeah, ooh, I like that, and ooh, Russ Cole's pretty interesting, the psychosphere stuff, that's interesting. And the other thing, I'm very curious about the balance between supernatural and natural. But yeah, this feels like a premium podcast, a premium product out of HBO Max. What's your thoughts one episode in?
It felt a lot more horror than I was used to in True Detective. True Detective always has those very dark qualities to it, like grisly things and stuff. But this felt more explicitly horror. And I think I see, you know, what all the interviews were about, where Issa Lopez is like, I'm leaning into perhaps the supernatural, I'm leaning into the horror aspect of it, because it felt like a horror movie right from the jump.
Yeah, but I'm the rationalist in a horror film where it's like, well, this is all easily explainable, you know.
Yeah, got dude shaking and saying she's awake, and you got people running through hallways.
People can have a psychotic break, and you know, widowers can see their,
with 8 of them,
can see their husband that looks like Doctor Who with long hair running around bare feet. I mean, it's the thing; those things can happen. This is Alaska. It's been dark for 3 days. Okay.
Yeah, Jodie Foster can pick up a bear with one eye, and her partner can see a bear with one eye in the street at the same time. It's possible.
Yeah. Yeah. There is some interesting connections here. There's also like what seems like the, on the surface, on the face of it, supernatural, the disappearance of the men and submergence of at least 3 of them in a sheet of ice, and what seems to be very mundane, which is the butchering of this poor young Native American activist woman, Annie Kay. And then, like, I was wondering if how they were going, or if they were even going to connect them. If there's just going to be some kind of like DNA helical structure to this season, but it seems like they might be explicitly connected with the guy wearing the parka with the patch covering the tear.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think about the possible connections between the slain girl and the disappearance of these men?
I kind of wish I hadn't seen the trailer, because I feel like the trailer gives away a fair bit of the connective tissue that they haven't revealed yet. And I won't say what that is, obviously, but there are some hints at it in this first episode and things I know that they're going to show us that I'm like, oh, OK, I see how all these things are lining up.
I guess I'm glad that I'm missing the gene that you and apparently Pete Peppers have, where like I watch a trailer, I'm like, damn, that looks dope. But I don't really think of it in terms of like, oh, I've seen that scene. I put this like, because I'm like, I have no fucking idea what you're talking about.
Usually I don't do that. But when I'm doing a podcast on something, I feel like I have to. So I'm looking for those pieces. Yeah. And I see Jodie Foster rummaging around on the floor, and I'm like, oh, I know where that's going. I know the shot that that's going to give me eventually. And I see like pieces of a thing in some photos. I'm like, oh, I know where that's going.
Yeah.
I see. But yeah, I don't know. I'm very excited. I think it does feel a lot like True Detective, even though it is a little more perhaps supernaturally, perhaps horror-y. It's definitely got that vibe of True Detective.
Well, we talked about this on Reservation Dogs, that when you're dealing with Native American cultures, there's always a little bit closer connection to like supernatural things, or that's something that's like, you know, open. That's a culture that's open for those things to happen. They don't have to like explain it away. But I'm still, like I said, I'm the rationalist, and I wonder. Because I was looking at a lot of different reviews last week when we were looking at the preview, and it seems like people think that this is playing straight down the middle in terms of, like, by the end of the season, you could probably make a cohesive argument for it. It's like, it's all just people being delusional, people off their medication, people suffering from, you know, severe seasonal affective disorder. Or you could be like, oh, no, these are actually dark spirits that are trying to, you know, balance the scales of justice or wreak their vengeance upon the land, however you want to interpret it. I'm kind of curious to see how they can maintain that tension. Because I just notice things. Like, you see Harry Potter's mom walking out after aunt looking, walking out after Doctor Who with his, you know, bare feet in the tundra. And I couldn't help but notice that she never sees him when she's with other people. You know, so it's like, that's kind of a hint that there's a reality here. You're right. The one guy screaming, she's here. And then you see scrawled on a whiteboard, we're all going to die. And then they're frozen. How the hell are they frozen in a,
yeah, that's
a glacier or whatever?
It's an interesting collective delusion, I guess, if somehow they all just decided, yep, the best place for us is outside. I don't know, man. I'm interested to see how it shapes up.
You can get that too, like there's certain I forget what is the paradoxical undressing, like when you're, I think it's like in late stage hypothermia where you know, you start like, you feel like you're burning up when you're freezing, so you start taking your clothes off to try to get, and then you just freeze faster. I wonder if there's some kind of like scientific explanation for like a certain gas would leak in that would make people feel that way, or
yeah. And what is its connection to Ferris Bueller? That's what I want to know.
Yeah, why was Ferris Bueller glitching? And also, was Jodie Foster being funny when she's like, I hate to be like, it's, is there some, did she walk in on her husband fucking Stacey Chalmers to twist and shout or something? Because it felt like there was some kind of like Pavlovian response to that song in particular.
Yeah, she immediately like heard it down the hall and ran to it to shut it off. It wasn't like, you know, Stacey in the cell screaming where it was super annoying. It was just something that, yeah, almost triggered her for some reason.
Yeah, that's what I thought so too.
I was trying to understand the relationship between, Is it Hank and Liz, Jodie Foster and then this other cop guy?
Ex-husband and wife, it seems.
Are they?
Yeah, because
the way they were talking,
boy,
I don't think that is their kid. I think that's Hank's kid. So they could still be ex-husband and wife, but it felt to me like, because he said something about my dad. You wouldn't say, like, to her, he said something like, my dad's going to kill me if he finds out. You would say dad's going to kill me, right? You wouldn't. Makes it very much more.
Yeah,
like,
there's. I didn't clock that. That's a good point, because I definitely clocked the fact that her daughter, the one that's filming porno with the 15/16-year-old, is also not her real daughter.
Yeah, she's not the bio mom, but
yeah,
she's so, kind of maybe adopted her after something horrible happened to her father. Perhaps involving a drunk driver. I don't know.
Yeah. I'm kind of curious. So you're saying none of those kids are hers?
I didn't feel like it. But I could be wrong about that for sure.
I mean, it would be, it'd be an interesting quirk to her character that she's like, you know, raising these kids in her. But I don't know. I'd have to. I've only watched it the one time. By the way, if you're listening to some podcast form or live, we've got a little bit of a studio audience here. Go ahead and put your questions, your topics, or your theories in the chat. Our producer's compiling them now as soon as me and Jim here exhaust our supply of things to talk about, things we're wondering. We'll take your guys' stuff in instant talk portion of the podcast. There's a couple of other things that now I'm like kind of processing, and I jotted down a couple of things we're watching. The cold open was very Jesus and the Swine. You know, this hunter looking at this reindeer caribou, and then they all, I think, just get a wild hair and limbing themselves off of a cliff.
I think they all die. Yeah.
But that never came back around. And I'm wondering, like, what was... So that implies that something maybe was strange in the air or in the land that would cause mammal creatures to just go off and die.
Yeah, including the people at this facility, the research station. Yeah, and then along with the, you know, we are all dead on the whiteboard, and like everybody saying she's awake. It seems like there's some force out there that's causing people and animals to...
Where was M. Night Shyamalan when the night of this, the caribou and the researchers, because this is very, this we need Mark Wahlberg on the case. Here. This feels like a happening.
Could be.
Do you, because
it's a creepy opening though. I liked it too.
It's very unsettling. It's like I said, it gave me that Jesus casting demons to the swine feel. They teased in the preseason coverage, Issa Lopez, about the connection, the fact that this is definitively set in the same world of True Detective. There'll be more connections than just a Lone Star beer can, right?
Oh, was there a Lone Star can?
They're at the research, at the sciences, they're having themselves a little Ferris Bueller party. There was a lone can of Lone Star, and I'm like, surely... But also, would be hilarious if that's literally... Well, yeah, it's in the same universe. They got the Lone Star, you know?
Uh-huh. Yeah. No, there is. I saw some things that maybe we can talk about as we get a little deeper in that might hint at some connections. We'll be right back with more Bald Move after this brief pause.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Here are the weekly highlights coming up this week on Bald Move.
Apple TV is releasing a new series based on Blake Crouch's novel Dark Matter. Aaron and I are big fans of his work, so we're picking up the new show on day one. Join us this Wednesday for the preview podcast.
The Shogun Limited series might be over, but that doesn't mean our Shogun coverage has to end. We've got the wrap-up podcast releasing this Tuesday, where we'll consider all your feedback and final thoughts on the series. And because we like the show so much, we decided to go all the way back to 1980 to cover the first TV adaptation of the novel. Do what you can to find a copy and join us this Thursday for the first of our four-part podcast on the 1980 Shogun miniseries.
And finally, the latest first-run movie, The Fall Guy, features Emily Blunt and Ryan Gosling. He's a stuntman tasked with finding the star of his ex-girlfriend's movie when he suddenly goes missing. Is it a rom-com? Yes. Does that mean I'll automatically hate it? Not if the trailer lives up to its promise. Join us for the podcast on Bald Move Pulp this Thursday night.
You can find these and many other great podcasts by searching for Bald Move Pulp or Bald Move Prestige in your favorite podcast app.
And now, back with more Bald Move.
Yeah, there's a conspicuous sighting of Blood Meridian, which I've never read, but, you know, that's, what is that, Cormac McCarthy's magnum opus. And I hear it's just insane, so it's like, I imagine we'll get quite the few email tomes this week for the feedback section, because I'm sure a lot of people have read that. By the way, that's TrueDetective@BaldMove.com, if you want to send in feedback for the... for this the full podcast out later this week on Tuesday.
And there was just a bunch of stuff going on. It's they did a good job of making me interested in the case, but also doing a lot of other things, kind of explaining who these characters are, what their motivations are. Navarro clearly motivated by a desire to see justice for women who are hurt, and specifically, I think, Native women who are hurt up here in Alaska. Liz kind of feels like just a no-nonsense cop. Like, I want to crack a case. I'm not looking for the spooky shit. I'm not looking to reopen 6-year-old cold cases. Just doing my job.
She feels like there might be a lot of like anger and resentment for, you know, the fact that she has like taken different people in, and, you know, maybe they're not. Yeah. It's like, I just felt like there was a lot of repressed anger about the way her life is led. And I kind of like that relationship she had with Navarro, where it's like, clearly there's still a lot of affection and like joking and like, you know, for lack of a better word, ball busting going on there. But you can clearly tell there's some real serious beef, and it kind of simmers throughout the episode before it boils over with all this like anger and resentment on both sides. Like, obviously Navarro thinks that Liz didn't take the disappearance. Well, I guess it's not even her fault. The department, the state officials, the governments didn't take the disappearance of this woman serious enough. And Liz, for her part, thinks that Navarro let that get in the way of a promising career.
Yeah, she became obsessed with it, tried to take it too far, even when there was nothing to go on.
Is a state trooper a downgrade from whatever Liz is?
Seems like
ALF, an ALF or APL, or I forget exactly what the Alaskan Provincial Police
is. Is it police force? I don't know. I think it's APF.
APF, Alaskan Police Force. I wonder, yeah, what is the difference? What's the difference that in the state police? It seems like state police, like they are in a lot of states, are just traffic enforcement, because she made the comment about her scraping dead moose off the road or something.
Yep. Dead polar bears.
Yeah.
You hit one of those, people, I don't know.
People joking about this being the same polar bear from Lost. I couldn't help but you see a polar bear in a pilot episode of something. Now, obviously, it doesn't stick out quite as bad in Alaska as it does in a tropical island. But it's got one eye and kind of like a star tattoo, like a kiss.
It had it. It's like my dad.
This polar bear's in the Kiss Army. Yeah,
my dad got out of the military with a cross on his arm, and when he became a witness, he went and he covered it up with like a fucking ice cream cone or something. I don't know. But this, that's what this bear did. They tried to cover the Dharma tattoo with a star. Like, I don't want to be associated with Dharma anymore. That almost ruined my career.
Let me ask you this. Do you think it's possible for a human tongue to get calloused from licking needles?
I would assume so. Yeah. Why not?
I'm trying to think
years and years.
How many needles would you have to lick on a daily basis for your tongue to get a groove in it? I mean, it could happen. I don't know. But that felt like
three.
Something.
We have to ask the owl.
Yeah, that felt. It feels like something that's like, my God, is like, what does Captain Crunch? What does a lifetime of eating Captain Crunch do to you if licking a needle?
Yeah.
Like
the roof of
your
mouth.
People should study that. My God. There's something we haven't talked about yet, a ghostly apparition. Or maybe it's a real life experience, but Navarro having a flashback to her time in a theater of war where it looked like she spoke to a woman with half her skull blown off.
Oh, yeah.
If you told me that could actually happen, I would believe it. Like, I could believe, I mean, I've seen some wild shit, man.
Yeah, like the railroad tie through the head and they're totally fine, that kind of thing.
Or like, you know, people trying to, you know, like trying to kill themselves and like blow the entire front of their face off and are still alive. It's like there's a lot going on in the human skull. It's not brain like you'd think. But also, yeah, there was definitely some Gus Fring. Like, there's no way. But I'm trying to think, it's like, was that a ghost or was that a real experience she'd have? Is that where she got her kind of like revulsion to seeing violence done against women?
It's the experience she starts to recount when she's asked why she believes in God, and That's interesting. I'm not even sure that this is a real person that she's leaning into here. Or if this person maybe died, you know, way earlier in her tour, and now she's seeing them and talking to them a lot like Travis on the ice out there. I don't know. There's so many things, right? This is the first episode, so there's so many things they're just bringing up to remain open mysteries for now. And
yeah,
even personal stuff like that.
I looked in between during the intro. I don't know if we want to talk about that because, you know, True Detective is kind of known for its all-time great intros. What did you think of the Billie Eilish? That's the thing that felt the least amount of True Detective to me, the intro.
Yeah, that whole soundtrack is interesting. It's of a piece.
I'll agree with that.
It's got like a muted kind of minimalistic sound to it.
Yeah.
But it's also very modern sounding, which is different from like the Leonard Cohen shit that they've done on the show before. Right.
Yeah.
I will say, I think I liked it. The intro is way more explicit, I guess, than previous intros. It's usually a lot more sort of suggestive imagery in the opening of this show. This time it feels a lot more direct with the case, like people screaming and shots
polar
of corpses
bear.
And
a lot of stuff that came up this in particular episode, even, you know.
Yeah,
more immediately relevant.
Yeah, I don't know that it's bad. I think I like it.
So while that was going on, I took the opportunity to look up something. I just want to look up the name of this installation. Salal, I think is how you pronounce it. Apparently that's a Hebrew word that means to become dark.
Okay.
And this word has been used for almost 100 years, or like almost 200 years. It was first used by Edgar Allan Poe in the English-speaking world to describe an island off of Antarctica, I think it is. Like, this lone island is populated by these, like, cannibal tribe. I think it looked like it's also used in a story by Jules Verne. And there might even be, again, I didn't have a ton of time to research this before the stream, but also I think there might have been some sort of Lovecraftian reference to this as well. Obviously there's some occult connections there. Is there any other thing that we wanted to point out before we get to the instant talk portion here?
Did you find the episode very funny? Because I thought there were a couple of moments that were pretty funny to me.
Most of the humor I came away with, I don't know if it's appropriate, but it's Stacey Chalmers.
Yes.
Like, everything about Stacey Chalmers I found. Like, especially even there's someone in the town, there's like a building that she wrecked in front of, and is that fucking Stacey Chalmers again? It's like kind of sets it up.
Yeah.
And then she's this crying, blubbering mess, and I'm like, man, is Jodie Foster taking this a little too far? You know, this woman just went through, and then you get to the jail cell, and she's the obnoxious town drunk that's probably going to kill somebody. Did you? Probably. I've heard that Alaska, the DUI situation up there, is out of fucking control.
I can imagine.
Probably sparse population plus 6 months of darkness plus dubious economic potential equals lots of depression drinking.
And everybody knows everybody. It's like
low chance of getting caught.
Are you really gonna arrest me? Like, we had dinner last night, you know. I could see there being a certain amount of scofflaw stuff going on up there for sure.
Well, if it's Stacey Chalmers, the answer is yes, we will arrest you.
Yeah, but we're not gonna like arrest you, right? We're just gonna keep you in the drunk tank for a night until you sober up and then let you go.
There's other things I thought were funny. Like, I felt like her ex-husband and hers relationship was, broadly speaking, played for comedy, and like him played as like a real loser. And it just kept on getting worse. Like, I remember
the mail order bride stuff.
yeah, like, you know, she's making these jabs like, you know, you're taking blowjobs with Stacey Chalmers, and he's like, oh, I'm a fiance and she's coming to visit for Christmas, and it turns out, yeah, she's a mail order bride, and he's got a room prepared for her, and it's like, what is the deal with him holding these case files hostage? Like, Jodie Foster is the boss of this police department, right?
I wonder if he came in and took her, or if she came in and took his job. If he was like the head honcho guy. No, because Navarro
was.
But
he's no longer the head honcho, so what the fuck? How?
Yeah.
Wait, right. Navarro was the chief of police? I thought it was her ex-husband.
I don't know, because there's a thing, the whole thing where they go at each other, and Jodie Foster is like, oh, you were here.
The,
like,
right, she was on the force.
To...
I think she was the lead investigator, but I didn't think
she wasn't heading the department.
But even if she did come in there and take his job, she has his job. How the hell can he just take case files? And that doesn't seem...
No, that's just a weird relationship, for sure.
Yeah, maybe it's like she could go over there and get it, but it's a pride thing, you know? She's got to use their son as a pawn to some extent.
Maybe.
But I don't know. I saw some people in chat are questioning whether it's actually her ex-husband. They had some sort of relationship, though. And apparently
she came
to Alaska and they met on the job, and then they fell in love. I think that's the story I understand. But again, I've only seen this thing once. Yeah. So,
and they don't give you all that information, right? And they don't hand it to you on a silver platter. You got to kind of put the pieces together.
I like when you have to do a little bit of forensic work on a show, because like, why? Because I'd much rather that than they just info dump it, you know, because like these people know their lives. They don't explain it to each other.
Yeah.
You know, on a regular basis. So you got to kind of tease it out. It would be weird.
All right. I think I'm about out of stuff I really want to talk about. So maybe we can see what the audience has to say.
It looks like we may have some clarification on some of these questions even. We're going to get to the instant talk portion of the podcast now. That's where we go to the chat and see what people are saying, how they're digging the season, what they've noticed, any things that they've seen or heard to go bump in the night. To watch our show live and participate in the live chat and get access to this portion of the podcast, you have to be a club member. That's the bad news. The good news is it's super easy. You go to support.baldmove.com. You can sign up instantly and get access to this and many more premium podcasts by Bald Move. Also, ad-free access to our feeds. That's cool, too. Support.baldmove.com. All right, let's get to the instant talk.